in surface waters was unauthorized and caused by the discharger's failure to maintain and operate its sanitary sewer collection system as required by their MPDS permit adopted by the Regional Water Quality Control Board, Central Coast Region, and sanitary sewer collection system order adopted by the State Water Resources Control Board, State Water Board. The draft order recommends $1,408,007.50 in administrative civil liability from the discharger, which varies from the recommended civil liability complaint prepared by the Central Coast and State Water Resources Board Office of Enforcement Staff's prosecution team. Assisting the board today, advising the board, will be myself as executive officer, Mr. John Robertson to my right, Mr. Ryan Lodge to my right, and Ms. Jessica Jarr, counsel from the State Water Board's Office of Chief Counsel. Mr. Young.
Okay, thank you. This is the time and place for a hearing of the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board to consider adoption of an administrative civil liability order against South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. This hearing will be conducted in accordance with the hearing procedures that were provided to the parties. Designated parties are as follows: Regional Board Prosecution Team and San Luis Obispo County. The designated parties and their witnesses are subject to cross-examination. The prosecution staff will be allowed 180 minutes for their presentation, including opening statement, direct testimony, cross-examination, and rebuttal. South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District will be allowed 180 minutes for their presentation, including opening statement, direct testimony, cross-examination, and rebuttal. Each designated party will be allowed 5 minutes for a closing statement. All other persons are considered interested persons and will be allowed 3 minutes. And for those individuals, please fill out a speaker card, which you'll find these blank white cards in the back of the room. Fill them out completely and hand them up here to Mr. Robertson in the red shirt at the end of the table. The chair may provide additional time at his discretion. A timer will be used. Board members, the advisory team, and staff counsel may ask questions to clarify testimony of a witness at any time. And let me suggest to my colleagues that because we have a court reporter here, it's important that only one person speak at a time. Otherwise, it becomes a very, very difficult task for her to separate the testimony out and keep it straight and clear and understandable.
Will we need to say our name each time, or can the reporter see our name?
I can see your names, but just the first time for each person.
Okay, so how would you like them to, when they speak, do you need them to address, identify themselves?
The first time.
The first time. Okay. All right.
And she needs to tell us when she needs a break.
And you need to tell us when you need a break. Okay, whenever it is. All right. And if people are talking too quickly, you want us to slow down, you control the tempo and you just raise your hand and say stop, and we'll stop. All right. For purposes of this hearing, great question, and I'm going to get to that on probably page 3 of the statement that I've got in front of me. For purposes of this hearing, the functions of staff and counsel are separated. Prosecution staff who are proposing this action have had no communication with the board members or the board's advisors, other than for non-controversial procedural matters. The board counsel has not advised the prosecution team in this matter. For this hearing, the prosecution team consists of Michael Thomas, Assistant Executive Officer, Harvey Packard. Harvey, where are you? Matthew Buffelbin,
Buff Laban.
Buff Laban, okay. Leo Sarmiento. Jim Fisher. Todd Stanley. Is Todd Stanley here? Okay. Sheila Soderberg. Katie DeSimone. And was Todd Stanley in here twice? I don't know. They are advised by Julie Macedo, counsel from the State Water Resources Control Board's Office of Enforcement. For this hearing, the board's advisory team consists of Jessica Jarr, counsel from the State Water Resources Control Board Office of Chief Counsel, Ken Harris, interim acting executive officer to my left, John Robertson and Ryan Lodge, who were introduced earlier. Each person who testifies at this hearing shall begin by stating his or her name and address, unless the address has already been given. All persons who may testify at this hearing, please stand now, even if you don't plan to testify but are involved in this matter. Raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony which you will give in this matter is the truth? Answer?
Yes.
Yes. Has anybody said anything else? Okay. Thank you. The order of presentation at this hearing will be as follows. Opening statements by prosecution staff and South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Two, direct testimony of Mr. Toma, followed by cross-examination by prosecution staff of Mr. Toma. Three, Central Coast Water Board prosecution staff case in chief with cross-examination by South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Four, South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District case in chief with cross-examination by prosecution staff. Five, representatives of agencies, they will be allotted 3 minutes each. And for to answer your question, sir, six, other interested persons, 3 minutes each. Then we will have closing statements by first the South San Luis Obispo County, 5 minutes, and followed by prosecution staff, 5 minutes. Cross-examination of each witness will occur after that witness's direct testimony has concluded. The party offering the witness may then offer redirect testimony. At the close of the hearing, the board members and advisory team will adjourn to closed session to deliberate on the evidence as authorized by Government Code Section 11126. After the conclusion of the deliberations, the board will resume open session and provide its ruling. Please state your name, address, affiliation, and whether you have taken the oath before you testify. We will begin with testimony by staff. Why is that in there? Okay. We've already rearranged this somewhat. Okay. At this time, evidence should be introduced on the following issues: whether the regional board should issue, reject, or modify the proposed ACL order. I will now begin the hearing. So let's start with our opening statements.
Okay. Mr. Chair, before you do that, I think that if anybody has speaker cards, they're over in an alcove over there in the left-hand side or their right-hand side,
yeah,
then they should be brought over to
right.
Mr. Robertson.
Right.
Because I saw some people wandering around, didn't know what to do with their speaker cards.
Yeah, these cards should go up here. And then perhaps what council can do is introduce yourselves, because I don't think that the board has met all of you. So.
Sure. I'm Julie Macedo. I'm senior staff counsel with the Office of Enforcement.
Okay. And to your left is?
To my left is Dr. Buff Laban. He is the supervising engineer for the State Office Special Investigations Unit.
Okay. And Melissa, if I may.
Is your mic on? You got to press the. Sorry.
A little light that comes on.
Melissa Thorne from Downey Brand, representing South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, and this is Olivia Wright, one of my associates, and she will be helping me present today.
Okay.
And then our paralegal, Sandra Collier.
Okay, great. Okay, welcome, everybody. All right, so let's begin our hearing. Let's have our opening statement by the prosecution team.
Okay, great. Good morning, Chair and members of the board. As I just said, my name is Julie Macedo, and I'm Senior Staff Counsel with the Office of Enforcement. It is my pleasure to present today what's going to be an all-day event with clearly a packed house. I'm actually the Region 3 liaison attorney, and it's my first enforcement matter before the board. Other staff joining me include Jerry Horner, Chief Economist, Jim Fisher, a Water Resource Control Engineer, Matthew Beflaben, Senior Water Resource Control Engineer, and Katie DeSimone, Water Resource Control Engineer from Region 3. Leo Sarmiento, Harvey Packard, and Michael Thomas have also been instrumental in bringing this case to hearing, although they will not be testifying today. This enforcement matter concerns a sanitary sewer overflow, and while we've covered substantial information in the written materials, we'll cover the high points in today's evidentiary hearing. We know that we're asking you to adopt an order with a significant penalty during a tough economic time, and we don't take that lightly. We would not be asking you to do that if we did not have good reason and we didn't think that penalty isn't warranted or necessary. We also know that many other dischargers with similar delayed maintenance issues to the ones that the district faced in December 2010 are watching this hearing, and we hope that the board sends them a message that it is better to deal with such issues as they arise than hope that problems don't pile up and lead to a spill that has far-reaching public health consequences and ultimately could cost more than addressing the problems in the first place. Such a result would be both fiscally responsible and protective of water quality. With that said, let's begin. There are two main issues to decide in this hearing: the appropriate penalty under the 2010 enforcement policy and the volume discharged during the overflow events that occurred on December 19th and 20th, 2010. On December 19th and 20th, there was an illegal sewer overflow, and we're arguing over how to assess the penalty. While the district hasn't had a similar spill of this type before, this was a spill that affected more homes than any other spill since the state started collecting information in its CWIX database in 2007. As I said, this is a matter of great importance around the state. No defense applies to this spill event. No defense under the Clean Water Act, and no defense in the district's permit. Both the Clean Water Act and the district's permit prohibit discharges of untreated or partially treated wastewaters into waters of the United States. District Council has argued and will likely argue today that the district should pay no penalty for this overflow. Its argument is flawed for a number of reasons, not least of which is that it completely misstates the definition of the upset and bypass defenses, which do not apply to these discharge violations. Furthermore, the district will argue for low or inappropriate factors to be assigned to various steps in the enforcement policy penalty methodology, which the prosecution team feels are inappropriate due to the gravity of the spill, the harm incurred by the public, and the failure of the district to recognize its contribution to the spill by years of delayed maintenance. The prosecution team's recommended penalty is approximately $1.4 million. After an analysis that 1.1 million gallons of raw sewage and stormwater was discharged and an analysis of the factors under the 2010 enforcement policy, the prosecution team's recommended penalty is fair based on other sanitary sewer overflow cases decided under the policy around the state, conservative based on the circumstances and volume of the spill, and appropriate because it is needed to send a message to this particular discharger. The recommended penalty is also fair based on the total volume of sewage and stormwater we have calculated was spilled over the two-day event. The penalty amount is in line with other ACLCs for SSOs. While the district claims the overflow was beyond its control, the facts and testimony you'll hear today will indicate otherwise. The penalty should bear this out. As the board and the public will see, the prosecution team's recommended penalty could have been higher, but the prosecution team made several conservative selections in the district's favor. However, we feel that the penalty we are ultimately recommending is appropriate, fair, and necessary. A common theme you'll hear today from several of the witnesses is that the cause of the spill could not be boiled down to a single cause. There were several overdue preventive maintenance issues and improper operating procedures that led to the overflow and ultimately the size of the spill. These issues included a pump discharge valve being closed when it should have been opened, emergency pump problems, a leaky influent gate that may not have been addressed since the plant's construction in the early 1960s, ponding issues that allowed for water intrusion into electrical pool boxes, and faulty electrical issues. Finally, this matter has had a significant public component. One of the main factors in the penalty calculator is the harm caused by the spill, and from the size of the audience and the amount of public comments the board has received, this spill has caused a lot of harm. Now, the board can't directly compensate the Oceano residents for any damage caused by the sewage backups into homes, but up to 50% of the penalty amount can stay right here in Region 3 and be spent on a supplemental environmental project. The prosecution team fully supports a use of the penalty in this way. I think that the board has an opportunity to send a message to the district today, hopefully on behalf of the residents of Oceano and to other dischargers who fail to address preventive maintenance issues until discharges such as this happens. Thank you.
Okay. And the district's opening statement.
Good morning, regional board members, Mr. Chairman, advisory team. As I said, my name is Melissa Thorne. I'm here representing the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, and since that's a big chunk of things to say, I'm just going to call them the district from now on, so just so everyone knows when I use that term, that's what I mean. So I'd first like to say that the district greatly appreciates the additional time that was given to allow us to tell our entire story, and this story is basically a district that hadn't had a sewer spill in 25 years until this flood event occurred. And we hope today that your job will be taking a critical view of this case. You are the judge and jury in this case, and so I want you to listen to both sides and not just take the prosecution team's side on this, just to listen with a critical ear. As I was sitting trying to think of a theme for our opening statement, I couldn't really decide between two different things. So I'm going to tell you both of my themes that I had for today. So on the one hand, this case feels a little to me like a poker game. And the poker game is where the prosecution team has all the cards, all the face cards and all the aces. And we have to have our cards laying up on the table. And why I say that is because the district has been at a disadvantage from the beginning. The state has all the investigative power. They can send letters and say, tell us this, tell us that. In fact, they sent letters saying, please tell us the advantages and disadvantages of each of the spill methodologies that you've put forth. And the district has to answer all those questions, or they can be under penalty by the state for not doing so. On the other hand, when we asked for documents from the prosecution team, they were being kept from us. We asked under a Public Records Act request. They were hiding documents under an investigative privilege, which is supposed to be maintained only for criminal cases. So we said, okay, if you're going to have this be a criminal case, then under the law you have to give us all the exculpatory evidence. That would be things that would show that maybe the district wasn't at fault. And they denied us under that as well. So we are at a little bit of a disadvantage in this case. So the other theme that I have is that, on the other hand, it seems to me a little bit like playing archery with a moving target. And I'll give you one example of that. One is on this private sewer lateral in-home spills. And under the sanitary sewer overflow permit, it is not required that a district report in-home spills. And the administrative civil liability complaint in this matter alleged that these were Category 2 spills and were not properly certified, and that was in paragraph 24 of the complaint. So when the district showed the prosecution team in our brief that only Category 1 spills have to be certified within a certain time frame, then the target changed. And now in the final brief, the prosecution team is arguing that these are Category 1 spills and need to be certified. And now they are the most important part of the prosecution team's case. And they've been out interviewing people, local residents, having meetings at local cantinas and trying to get people to come and testify. And at the same time, they're keeping all that evidence of those interviews from the district. So our theme for today is asking the board members to keep in mind this uneven playing field and to keep in mind the actual facts of this case as you consider and make a decision today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Just kind of a point of clarification. Aren't we also determining first liability before we get into any kind of a penalty calculation? Your presentation suggested it's simply a matter of us determining how much.
Yes.
And I think, don't we first have to
I think everyone understands that there was a spill.
Correct.
On December 19th and 20th.
Right.
To the extent that the district isn't denying that there is a spill, you can reach the foundational question whether the district was responsible for the spill or if there's a defense, and then what amount of penalty should apply. We don't think there's a full defense, but the spill did occur. So you're not answering the question of whether the spill occurred.
Okay. I just was curious whether there was a preliminary question to be answered first.
We're past the point of whether the spill occurred.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.